don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14, all of that psalm. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for your word. Thank you for your hand of grace upon your word. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every leader, listener. And thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. Bless this broadcast indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. More and more use it to set believers' prayer lives on fire, to set them on fire of your Holy Spirit. More and more use it to stir believers to become the faithful kingdom ambassadors and warriors that you've called us to be. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we're dealing with warfare every single day, and help us to be about your business daily. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty once again over the nation of Ukraine, over Russia, and over that whole region of the world. Pour out in much greater measure your grace, mercy, and spirit mightily upon that whole region. Pour out your mercy upon that region, Lord. And we ask that your grace and mercy that will bring the conflict to an end would be at work mightily in Jesus' name. And in the midst of all this, Lord, stir the church more and more to be the praying church, the believing church, the obedient church, the listening church that you would have the church to be, and help the church worldwide to do what you've called us to do in the way of praying with and supporting with our finances and whatever other way we can reach out to help and support the church as well as the people of that region in the midst of all that's going on. And Lord, thank you for being on your throne in the midst of all that's going on. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer.
Father, we join the psalmist in saying, great are you, Lord, and highly to be praised. Your greatness, Father, is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Father, we lift high your name today. Father, we adore you. We don't adore you as much as we would like to. Father, stir our hearts to adore you more. We pray for our listening family with all the concerns that they have. We bring them to you today and place their needs on your big shoulders. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to encourage our listeners to respond by sharing your listener stories. We're gathering stories now to play during our upcoming spring share-a-thon, which is just a few weeks away, and we hope to hear from you. If the Lord has used American Family Radio in your life to strengthen you and to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, if the Holy Spirit has reached through this network to bless you, to empower you to be a much more faithful disciple and ambassador for the kingdom of God, again, we hope to hear from you. We'd like to hear your AFR story, and it could be a blessing and of encouragement to others if you choose to share it. So please tell us how Christ has used AFR in your life and in the life of your family. You can call and share for a minute or two on this line that we're about to share, and you just might hear your testimony during our spring share-a-thon. The listener line to call and share your testimony is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. Again, we do hope to hear from you. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can reach me by way of email through joseph@afr.net. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to request some of the prayer tools or discipleship tools that we provide, we're grateful for the opportunity to share them. We hope that you will request them because they're very helpful tools, very fruitful tools to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, to help strengthen you in helping to disciple you and your family. But also, again, we're hoping that you'll take them and use them for you and your own family, but that you will forward them and share them with other extended family members, with fellow church members, with co-workers on the job and other people that you may know, just whoever the Lord lays upon your heart to share it with. But it's a great way for us all to work together, being co-laborers in the work of discipleship, discipling others. These are tools whereby we can do both the work of evangelism and discipleship online. And so if you'd like to get some of these resources and materials, we're glad to share them with you. Once again, my email, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net. Either one will get to us. Today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And we're looking at a passage, probably a very familiar passage, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, and it tells us these words of insight. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 to 42 of Luke chapter 10. Now, again, these are just a very few verses, and it takes just what you might call a brief snapshot in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Mary and Martha, and of course, their brother Lazarus, figure as important friends in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And so before we move further, I'm going to take a moment to read the same passage once again. And again, listening to the details of this short but powerful passage is important. Once again, Luke 10, starting at verse 38. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Again, we're looking at the topic today, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And very briefly, in summary, you can look at this passage and find some very important and vital truths about the Christian life here. Both Martha and Mary, two sisters, they knew Jesus. Both of them loved Jesus. Both of them were believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Important, though, to look at the passage and learn some important insights about being disciples. Notice it specifically tells us that Martha welcomed him into her house. And, you know, there are many believers who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior gloriously and wonderfully, and they welcome Jesus into their life. But you know, here, as you look at the life of Martha and Mary, you find an important truth, or some important truths that will help all of us in our daily walk with the Lord. Notice what it says about Mary. It says in verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So Martha has welcomed Jesus into her home, and Mary, who's Martha's sister, it says specifically that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But the next verse goes on to say, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" Well, if you can picture this scene, which again, in many ways would be in some ways common to the life of anyone that you might know. When you have guests, again, it's pretty typical that many times the wife, the mom of the home would be very busy involved with cooking and cleaning and preparing for a house full of guests, Jesus and his disciples being there. And probably Martha was working very hard, maybe sweating in the kitchen and doing things. And at a certain point in time, she realized Mary was not helping her. And if you can picture Martha looking around, looking here and there, and then seeing Mary in there with Jesus and his disciples, not standing at the door getting ready to come help her, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. Well, if you can picture Martha beginning to get very, very upset very quickly, thinking to herself, what in the world is Mary thinking? We've got a house full of guests, so much to do, and she's not helping me. And we find in the scripture that Martha is upset with, it appears she's both upset with Mary, her sister, but it appears she's upset with Jesus too. And notice what Martha says. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." So it appears that Martha is scolding both Jesus and Mary at the same time. It looks like she's so upset she doesn't speak to Mary. She doesn't know what she'd want to do to Mary, I guess, if she had the freedom to do it. But she is upset and she speaks to the Lord Jesus. The Lord says, "Don't you care? Lord, aren't you concerned about the fact that my sister's not helping me? Tell her to help me." In other words, Martha is telling Jesus what to do in order to get things going in the direction she wants him to go. But notice very clearly both the passage itself as well as Jesus help us understand what's really going on. Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" It clearly says Martha is distracted. Now, the world would say Mary was the one who was distracted, but the scripture does not indicate that Mary is distracted. It says Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to be pulled away from the more important thing. To be distracted is to have your attention averted away from what is most important in a given situation. And it's Martha that's distracted, not Mary. What is Mary doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. Now, very important for every believer listening to grasp is that, keep in mind, a very important truth in the life of a Christian is to understand this. The Christian life is largely a life of listening to God, listening to his word and his spirit, trusting him and doing what he says. And so we're all called to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word, every single one of us. So we're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there. But we're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back.
my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near me brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm.
From the Walls Group, All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And we've been looking specifically to begin with in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. I'm going to share the passage one more time. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Again, verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. Now, again, as we noted that in the life of every single believer, all of us are called to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Now, note again, verse 39 specifically says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Again, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Every believer, every disciple of Jesus Christ all over the world is called to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. In other words, we're called to a lifestyle of having an intimate, a very close relationship and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice now, here in the passage, Mary and Martha are both believers, but both of them in this short passage reflect a certain way of following the Lord. Mary is pursuing an intimate, close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what every believer is called to. It does not mean at all that Martha is not a believer. Apparently, she too was a believer and a follower of Christ as well. But you know, we can, you know, to use a term that refers to the way Peter, after Jesus was arrested before his crucifixion, it said that Peter followed at a distance. And so Peter wasn't trying to stay close. And actually, it was the Apostle John who stayed close to Jesus during his trial and coming up to the crucifixion. John actually was at the cross. He was the only one of the 12 disciples who was at the cross. Many of the women who followed Christ were there, but John was the only man at the cross. But it indicated in that passage that Peter followed at a distance. You know, no believer, no disciple of Jesus is called to follow him at a distance. We're all called to follow in a close, intimate relationship. Therefore, we're called to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Now, to put it another way, if you just ask the question, well, what does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word? Well, stay close to Jesus and hear his word. In other words, I like to often share the the term of being a pro-Christian. The three letters of the word pro remind us of three important building blocks in the life and the following of a disciple of Jesus Christ. P refers to our prayer life. We're called to stay close and to sit at the feet of Jesus through our prayer life. We're called to have an intimate relationship with the Lord as we spend significant time in prayer every single day. R refers to reading and meditating on the Word of God. We're to be consuming and reading God's Word, spending time in God's Word every single day. And O refers to obedience. We're to be hearers and doers of God's Word. We're not just to read the Word of God to say we've read it. We're to read it with an intention and a commitment to do what it says, and thereby be what we could call we could refer to ourselves as being pro-Christians in the way we follow Christ. Well, the fact is, you could say that a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His Word is a lifestyle of, again, being a believer who's committed to a vibrant prayer life, committed to reading and meditating on the Word of God daily, and committed to obeying and living what the Word of God is teaching us. That's how you can live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing His Word. Every believer is called to that. Yet, tragically, for too many believers, time in the Word of God has not been a priority for so many. And how sad that is. Because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, the power of God, the grace of God. It's so, so much more. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time with Jesus, you're interacting with Jesus. Thus, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. You're spending time with Him, like Mary was spending time in an intimate relationship with the Lord as well. Every believer is called to that. Men and women, boys and girls, were called to have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for the opportunity we have as followers of You to live in a close fellowship relationship with You every single day. Father, thank You for every believer listening. Thank You for us in the body of Christ. Father, anoint us afresh. In fact, set us on fire with Your Holy Spirit that would cause us to grow in understanding of the importance of living a life in close relationship with You all the time, to stay close, to live close, to thus live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing Your Word. Help us to know, Lord, that that's how we walk as victorious warriors, as we're hearing You, simply listening to You and following You. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day whereby we need to be close so that we're hearing receiving our marching orders and living them out. Empower every one of us, Lord, to be believers who live a lifestyle of sitting at Your feet and hearing Your Word. Thank You for that opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So if you're a believer and that you don't read your Bible regularly, I like to challenge and encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've shared that, I've heard believers that indicate that's so much. Now, you know, you and I need to understand this very clearly. You know, you can read your average three chapters in about 15 minutes or so. And remember, you have four segments of 15 minutes in an hour. We have 24 hours in a day. What a tragedy it is that so many who say they love the Lord don't even open their Bible in a 24-hour day. And remember this, we live in a world full of voices, many voices. Some of those voices come by way of all kinds of media, the internet, online, television, radio, and many other types of media. The voices of many people, many perspectives, many opinions, many directives. But did you know this? Though the world is full of voices, the most important voice you can possibly hear is the voice of God. Now, you may say, well, how do you hear God's voice? Through His Word and His Holy Spirit. God will talk to you all the time if you and I will listen. He speaks by His Word and by His Spirit. And it's important that we have a lifestyle of listening to God. So having the habit of reading the Word of God every day is a very, very wise, very fruitful habit. It's a habit that we as believers would be wise to definitely incorporate into our lifestyle. And so if you're one who is so busy that you've convinced yourself that you don't have time to read your Bible, then basically you need to quit something because you can't be too busy for God. Remember this, you know, many people are readers. They like to read certain kind of books, certain maybe kind of novels, maybe books that they need on their job. And, you know, books can have an important place in our lives, but there's not a single book in all the world more important than the Word of God. The Bible is the best-selling book in all the world. It has been for centuries. And obviously, one very important reason as to why that would be the case, the author is the creator of the universe. He's God, our Heavenly Father. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's El Shaddai. So his book, the Word of God, the Bible, is the best-selling book in all the world, has been for a long time. But, you know, for many people, and, you know, it's pretty common that people have several Bibles, maybe sometimes 7, 10 Bibles in their home. But sadly, too many of them are collecting dust. Too many aren't being opened and given time to. So every believer is called to a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Mary took that time. So note in that passage in Luke 10, when Jesus speaks to Martha, he's very patient with Martha. He's very gracious with Martha. His response to her is, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, what is Jesus referring to when he says one thing? What is the one thing that's needed? Again, for every believer, the high priority of our life should be God and our walk with him. God and our close relationship with him. God should be the high priority of every one of our lives. And so knowing him and walking with him should be the priority of our lives. So, yes, we need to make time to sit at his feet every day. And in other words, make time to spend significant time in the Word of God every day. Make time to spend significant time in prayer. Make time to spend significant time obeying his word, doing what he says. Well, so again, Martha and Mary, they are close friends of Jesus. Well, what is the result of the fact that Mary made it her business to sit at the feet of Jesus, listen and learn? Well, amongst other things, remember, when you stay in close fellowship relationship with the Lord, you're going to hear God's guidance and direction for what he's called you to do in life. And not again, not to say that Mary was not a believer. Apparently she was. But, excuse me, that Martha was not a believer. But Martha and Mary were both believers. But it appears that Mary made it the priority to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. And the result is, and keep in mind, this reflects a truth found in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. It tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When we read and meditate on the Word of God and spend time in his presence, God is reaching into our hearts and molding and shaping us and transforming our minds, our thinking, and transforming us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God transforms our mind. It transforms our thinking and our whole perspective. Do you want to be a transformed believer whose mind is continually being transformed more and more to think like Christ, to act like Christ, to have perspective like Christ? Spend time in the Word of God. So again, when you're reading the Word of God, Jesus, it's as if Jesus is reaching his hands into your inside of you and molding and shaping you to become more and more like him. I hope that you're doing that. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would encourage us to have a hunger for your word and a commitment to spend significant time in your word every single day. Help us to know, Lord, that as we sit at your feet every day, spend time in prayer and in your word, that you're helping us to become more and more conformed to your will, and you're helping us more and more to discern your specific call and callings on our life. And you're helping us to know what we're to be about doing, what our priorities and our direction should be as a life and a lifestyle. Help us more and more to walk in that wisdom each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, in addition to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we also see Mary and Martha appear in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11 and 12. And in chapter 11, something interesting to note is that here's an instance where Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, becomes ill, and word is sent to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. And so Mary and Martha were hoping that Jesus would quickly come and heal their brother Lazarus. But Jesus very specifically waits two more days before he comes. Jesus knew before he heads in that direction. Jesus was simply following the direction of the Spirit of God. And when he arrives there, Lazarus has died and he's been in the grave for about 4 days. But Jesus, again following the Holy Spirit, goes to the grave. And specifically when he gets to the grave, his words are, he tells them to remove the stone. And he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus, who had died, he came bound hand and foot with grave clothes, but he came forth. The Lord Jesus resurrected him from the grave. And so, of course, obviously that blessed the faith of Martha and Mary greatly. Well, we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Today we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back. From Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And I would encourage you to take time to read over that passage, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Really spend time reading and meditating and thinking on it. A short passage, but read and meditate on it over and over again, as it has much to teach us about living a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Every believer is called to a lifestyle of doing just that, a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Why is that so important? Because there it's in that intimate, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that he strengthens us, he matures us, he molds and shapes us to become more and more like him. And also we receive our marching orders. You know, every one of us has a calling and many callings on our lives. Yet it's important to know that we discern that calling as we stay at the feet of Jesus. We live in that close fellowship relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is, as believers, there are many tasks that the Spirit of God will direct us to do on a daily basis. But, you know, if we're not listening, if we're not in that close fellowship relationship with the Lord, we can miss many, many opportunities to do what God simply has called us to do on a given day because we're not listening. Listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God is a huge part of the Christian life. Listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, simply doing what we've been called to do. Well, in what way do we see, again, the lives of Mary and Martha? What do we see in their lives whereby we are able to see the fruit of Mary having been one sitting at Jesus' feet? Well, in John chapter 12, of course, the brother of Martha and Mary has only recently been raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 12, picking up at verse 1, it tells us these words. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Verses 1 through 8, John chapter 12. Well, note here, again, Jesus comes to visit once again in the home of Mary and Martha once again, and Lazarus is there as well, and Martha is serving. But note what Mary does. Mary takes a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. What a tremendous act of both obedience and worship on the part of Mary. Again, an act of both obedience and worship on the part of Mary. Well, why would Mary do that? Well, keep in mind, Mary has spent time at the feet of Jesus. Mary made it her business to seek to be, to have a close, intimate walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Mary grasped something that it appears none of Jesus' disciples have fully grasped. Jesus was going to die. He had to die for the sins of the whole wide world. He was going to die. Mary grasped that. Mary seemed to have come to understand, and she's doing something in preparing him for, preparing his body for burial. And it was a great act of honor and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and is God as well. And so the fact is, all these years later, we still read about this act that Mary has done, an act of worship and service to the Lord Jesus Christ by breaking this costly ointment on Jesus, anointing his feet, preparing his body for burial. Note in verse 3, the last line says, "And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." The fragrance of obedience in the life of a believer is a beautiful fragrance in the nostrils of our Heavenly Father. A life of simply obeying God and honoring Him enough to believe His word and live it. So Mary, again, because she was in a close relationship with Jesus, she grew in her understanding of what Jesus had been saying, that He was going to die for the sins of the world. So again, it seems that Mary understood something that even the disciples did not understand. Well, looking in the Gospel of John chapter 20, once again we see Mary, and this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. Notice also, once again, how God is able to use Mary and work through Mary's life in a beautiful way. Again, remember, when you stay in close relationship with the Lord, God will help you understand some truths and insights, and He'll be able to use you to do some things that He doesn't manage to get to use others for. Because again, when you stay in a close fellowship relationship with the Lord, again, you hear the guidance of God more clearly, and God is able to give you assignments and tasks that He doesn't get to give to others as well. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Verses 1 through 18, John chapter 20. Well, here we see that Mary was the first person to see and speak to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and the first person to have the opportunity to carry the good news, he is risen. What a blessed opportunity, what a blessed assignment, and what a blessed honor it was to be the first human being to proclaim, to be able to proclaim, he is risen. Why did Jesus give Mary this great both responsibility and great honorable opportunity? Well, Mary lived a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. When we as believers live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and we are hearing his word, God is able to entrust to us assignments, responsibilities, and callings whereby he can accomplish his will in the world. Why? Because again, when we live in that close, intimate relationship with the Lord, God can trust us and he can use us to get his will done. All of us are called to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Like Mary, we too are called to live a lifestyle of sitting at his feet and hearing his word. Every believer, no matter who you are, where you live, what your circumstances, every one of us is called to live that same kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. If you're not reading God's word every day, today is an important day to start that habit. Again, three chapters a day is a good place to start. If you're not spending time with God in prayer every day, today is a great day to start. Again, spending time praying, worshiping, thanking the Lord, seeking his wisdom, his guidance, and his grace. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give each and every one of us as believers to live a lifestyle of sitting at your feet and hearing your word. Lord, open our eyes and understanding to the fact that you're calling all of us to stay in close fellowship relationship with you, to live a lifestyle full of prayer, to live a lifestyle of full of reading and meditating on your word, and to live a lifestyle of obedience. You call all of us to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism and discipleship every day. You call us all to live a lifestyle of loving people in a world where people are hurting in so many ways. You call us all to live a lifestyle of giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our gifts, our treasure, to do the work of sharing with the world the love of Jesus Christ, a world that desperately needs to know that God loves each and every one of them. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much work to be done and that you're looking for warriors who live in close fellowship relationship with you so that you can simply give us clear assignments to do your work and will, and that we simply would obey and do what you've called us to do. We thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, help us to be about your business. Anoint us all afresh with the Spirit that would cause us, that would encourage us to become committed to living a lifestyle of sitting at your feet and hearing your word each and every day. Help us to know, Lord, that this is a great calling, a great responsibility, and a great opportunity to know you and to be co-laborers with you in your work and in the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, at this time, we'd like to invite you to make that all-important step. Remember, there's no more important step in all of life, no more important decision than the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my entire life following you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we very much would like to hear from you. Once again, my email is the letter J, jparker@afa.net, or you can email me at joseph@afr.net. Either email gets to me. And we'd like to share with you some literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, if you just simply want some of the prayer resources and discipleship resources we provide, we're grateful for the opportunity to share them with you. So simply email us again, both emails, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net. Both of them get to me. Well, thanks for listening again. We've been looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Please take time to go back and spend time really reading and meditating on Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and let the Lord speak to you and minister wisdom and grace and understanding about staying in close fellowship relationship with him, basically helping us to better understand that every one of us is called to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.